Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is Beth Bielo, and you're listening to the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me today. If you're tired of struggling with your sales goals and are just plain frustrated with the pushy, manipulative approach to sales and selling, you'll be very interested in what our guest, Shanbe Brown of Your Signature Coaching and Consulting, has to say. He is described by real estate agent and success coach Julie Hutton as pure, positive source energy in the flesh and blood. She advises, if you have the opportunity to join Shanbe in coaching or any endeavor, I hugely recommend it. Sales trainer and auctioneer Lori Richardson says this about Shanbe. I highly recommend working with Shanbe if you are looking for solutions to grow your business, gain exposure, partner with others, support a nonprofit, or solve a problem. He is real and stands out in a world full of bland and boring. As a spiritual business coach, Shanbe helps independent sales professionals release themselves from struggle, differentiate themselves in the marketplace, and to easily attract only their perfect clients. Shanbe enjoys cycling, keeping fit, gardening, sticking his feet in freezing water, and eating sashimi. Am I saying that right? Sashimi?
That's
okay.
Right.
In his time with us today, he will share with us what typically gets in our way as entrepreneurs and how we can instead be magnetic, creating a sense of ease and flow when it comes to sales and marketing. Having experienced Shanbe in a workshop earlier this year, I know that we are in for a treat today. So welcome to the show, Shanbe.
Oh, thank you so much, Beth. I'm so excited to be here. What a great introduction. I always say, as you know, that you can always go and get and earn another dollar, but you can't earn another hour. So I'm so grateful for the time that your listeners and you are taking to be with us today.
Oh, thank you. And yes, that was something you shared in that workshop, and it has stuck with me, and it will stick with me forever. What a wonderful reminder of the value of people's time. Well, to get us started, can you give us a brief description of something that you're really excited about in your business right now?
Oh, thank you. That's a great, great question. I am really excited. As you may know, I've recently moved to Portland, Oregon from Northern Washington State. And so now I have the opportunity to connect locally with my peeps. I was recently asked to help support another coach. She lives in another city, Tammy Redmond of Redmond Associates Coaching. Mm-hmm. In Olympia, Washington, and she asked me to host Bob Berg, his coming to Portland on September 22nd, 2010, as part of the Pacific Northwest leg of his Endless Referrals live event that will be held at the zoo right here in Portland.
Great.
And he, I don't know if you know who Bob Berg is, or your listeners know who he is, but he's an author and speaker. He's best known for his books, Endless Referrals, the book The Go-Giver and Go-Givers Sell More. And I'm excited about partnering with him, Bob Berg, at this particular time because I have a blog. It's called themagneticentrepreneur.com. Mm-hmm. I've been working out and sharing with the world how to harness, I guess you could say, and hone and express their own magnetic self in their business. And one of those core features of being a magnetic entrepreneur is embracing what I call selling and the act of selling as spiritual practice. It seems sort of strange to people to hear sales and spirituality in the same
in the same breath.
Yes, exactly. but spiritual practices, they've been around for millennia, since Hall of Human Experience, and include things like yoga or prayer, communion, maybe even a walk on the beach, or expression of love or kindness to someone. All these are contribute to our evolution. They connect us with people. Have different names for it: our true essence, or the divine, Allah, higher self, or whatever people use to reference that creative force or that energy. And I think that selling also does that. And I guess I'm getting kind of off here, but the point...
It's all related.
But Bob Berg, he's articulated a similar paradigmatic
mm,
word.
I don't know. It sounds that's a $10 word if I ever heard one.
A paradigmatic shift.
Excellent.
He's articulated this same type of shift in paradigm in hands-on, practical, authentic ways in his books and on the stage. And so partnering with him at this moment when I'm also connecting with people in a new state, a new city, is a very exciting time. It supports me in this moment. So that's a long-winded version of the brief description of what I'm most excited about.
Because you're so excited about it. I love that. Yeah. It's hard to ask for something short about something that we love and we feel passionate about. So thank you for offering that. And, you know, as you were saying about the selling and spirituality together, it's to me, it's not that much of a leap, because if we think of our relationship with money, or think of money as a spiritual practice in that it's a resource that we have with people, it's something that's part of selling and facilitating. And really, selling is about an exchange of value of our gifts with something that someone is giving us back in appreciation.
I absolutely agree. I'm so glad that you can see the very clear connection.
Mm, yeah, and I owe that clarity to having experienced you in that workshop, because that was a very powerful parallel to draw. So one of the things that, you know, ever since that workshop and I started working with introverts, I thought you were one of the first people that popped into my head of who I wanted to talk to. And I thought, oh, I hope he's an introvert. Wouldn't that be awesome? And thanks to a comment that you made on a Biznik post, I saw, yes, indeed, you at least had you were in touch with your introvert side, if not all out and out introvert. So would you mind talking a little bit about how introversion shows up for you and how being an introvert is a positive force in your entrepreneurial journey?
What a great question. So the first thing I want to say, I think you'd agree, when we're talking about a positive force, we're not talking about positive in that kind of usual sense that I guess presupposes an opposite negative force.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're really talking about what's, I'm taking it to mean what's useful, what moves us forward in terms of where we want to go.
Yes.
And as far as being an introvert, it's been sticky for me in terms of how it's affected my entrepreneurial journey, my life journey, really. I mean, first of all, there's the whole label thing about being introverted versus extroverted. And in particular, you know, there's inaccurate notions of what they even mean. So, and the second piece is that our entire world is oriented toward favoring people who are extroverted over those who are introverted. And then the third piece, I guess this is just talking about me personally, is that I didn't even have the slightest inkling or idea until maybe a couple of years ago that I might be introverted or even have any introverted tendencies, which ended up explaining a lot of things and kind of letting me off the hook, which I felt on.
So how did you come to discover that this was a trait that you had or part of your personality?
Well, it happened. I guess the first time that it happened. Well, I don't know how I ended up on a website that was, I was reading this essay online that this person, he had described himself as an introvert, and he had outlined on this website in detail the definition of being introverted, and I was shocked.
Shocked to see there was introversion online.
Right! Anyway, I can't follow up on your there. But I was shocked to find that at least 80% of that, of the time he was describing me. So all these years, you know, I wondered what was wrong with me, why I was exhausted after spending time with other people. Just the other day, I was talking to this woman, explaining to her that this whole introversion thing, and her initial response was that she says, well, I think you need to look at the people that are in your life, that they're having a negative impact on your life and draining you, and let them go.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was very interesting, and I realized I obviously hadn't articulated very well what I meant and what was going on, because I had to explain a little more to help her appreciate that anyone, mm-hmm. for me, is potentially draining.
Yes.
No matter how much I enjoy them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it, and it had little to do with whether the person was a draining person or not.
I really appreciate that, because I've never heard anybody have that particular piece of advice about it. And while there is truth in that, I think that that transcends introversion or extroversion.
Right. She was having a different conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
I was talking about a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I also, and recently, about a year ago, someone right here in Portland I was visiting with recommended a book by Marty Laney,
mm-hmm.
called The Introvert Advantage. Have you heard
I
that?
Have, absolutely.
How to Thrive in an Extrovert World, and great book, love it.
Mm-hmm.
It's I'm not finished with it, but it's taken me a year to get to it.
Yeah.
And so I'm just reading it now, but it's helped me tremendously in honoring my time and my space and myself.
Yes.
That book. So I really love that. So that's when I had the first kind of inkling of who I was, and reading that book, it really came, was, like I say, eye-opening. And so now I've progressively been arranging my life and my business experiences around what helps me conserve energy, how do I make space to recharge in ways that support me and help me show up more fully with my clients and my family and my friends. For example, I plan at least an hour between coaching client appointments. And when I have appointments outside the office, I make sure that they're obviously, hopefully, not back to back. And then I also estimate the travel time and double it.
Smart man.
I schedule chunks of time to work on projects rather than a little piece here and there. And then I schedule, I guess this is probably the most important component, I schedule Shombay appointments, which are really very helpful. And I don't guilt myself for not doing anything so-called, quote, productive. But, you know, this is still, I mean, it's a work in progress. I'm not always successful. Last week, maybe a week and a half ago, I booked myself solid. I was so mentally worn out that I had to take the whole next day off, which wasn't planned. I had stuff I was supposed to be doing, and then I felt bad that I didn't get anything done. And so I'm learning what makes me tick as an introvert who unfortunately had unknowingly been masquerading as an extrovert. And it's allowed me to forgive myself and nurture myself so I show up better for myself and others.
Awesome. That I love your story, Shombay.
Thank you so much. You know, that label piece about introverted versus extroversion, I think, and labels in general, they're useful to the extent that they're useful. And it's all about recognizing your strengths and then consciously orchestrating your life so that those strengths support you in sharing your gifts with the world. That's what I think.
Yes.
So there.
Yep. So there. Take that. Yeah, yeah.
And you know, introversion, extroversion, it's about celebrating who you are, I think. You know, some people talk about it being on a continuum. And to an extent, I believe that, you know, there's certain situational circumstances where most of us can be more of one than another according to what the situation dictates. But even then, I'd venture to say that, you know, especially if we're an introvert acting like an extrovert, we might be just indulging for the moment the prevailing notions of how we're supposed to be, instead of any kind of real objective, since I don't think people, you know, really jump chameleon-like from being introverted to being extroverted. We just are malleable in terms of what on the outside we can portray versus where we derive our energy.
Mm. And as you become aware of what your energy is, you're able to be intentional and able to be not at the mercy of the shoulds about how you should be acting in certain situations.
So you
are an introvert, and you might be outgoing and friendly in an introverted way, as opposed to saying, I need to be an extrovert to be able to, you know, navigate this situation or make friends or do whatever it is.
I'm so glad you put that out there, because I am outgoing in terms of, you know, at least giving the impression of confidence, a sense of presence. I connect well with other people in groups of various sizes. Obviously, through the course of this interview so far, you can tell I have a loud, commanding voice. I have a loud laugh. It carries. I'm able to draw people who are shy. And because of that, it's been challenging, because people, I've even expected that I am extroverted, and other people have assumed that as well. And so that has been challenging for me to uncover my quote-unquote, true nature, so that I could use that to my advantage.
Yeah. So speaking of using your true nature to your advantage, one of the things that, you know, you specialize in is helping people develop new sales stories for themselves. And I think this is especially true for introverts, because my sales story is, I'm an introvert, I don't do sales. You know, it's not comfortable, I have to put myself out there and all of that. So how, you know, based on what you know about yourself, your nature, what you've experienced with people, what are some of the old stories that you hear and see in action?
Well, this is huge. You know, just that story that that one story that you said, I'm an introvert, I don't do sales, it's too uncomfortable, that's could equally be said of an extrovert. That have that same story, only they exchange introvert for extrovert.
That surprises me.
Well, and it's because of these sales stories that are really fundamental to people's success in business. And we act them out even when we, either don't know what our sales stories are, or we think we believe something else. So kind of the default assumption from a buyer's perspective, for example, is that salespeople are only out to get you to buy something that you probably don't want anyway or need. Mm-hmm. And then after succeeding in, that conquest, I guess, off they go to get it from somebody else. It's like, you know, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's not very attractive. And you've heard me call this the story, if you will, the used car salesman myth.
Right.
And even an extrovert who, you know, they derive excitement and energy precisely from interacting with other people, hates feeling pressured or manipulated, even if what they are selling, that person is selling, is something that they need or they want. And so then you take an introvert, this experience is not only unpleasant, it's also draining, incredibly draining.
Yeah.
So I call it the used car salesman myth, not just, you know, to challenge whether the myth is true or not, but all of us act as if it were true. So it plays out in one of two ways. So, like, we have to, maybe the first scenario goes something like, we have to feed our families. We're in kind of emergency mode. And so, despite our best intentions, we go out and then we use these tricks and pressure tactics of the mythical used car salesman to make the sale. We feel gross and at worst, we feel gross and disgusting at ourselves. Yeah, icky. Or at best, we feel, you know, incongruent with what we really want. And we may manage to get a few people to buy from us every once in a while. And some are successful at this from time to time, especially those who are skilled at sales and who are also extroverted. But I don't think it's sustainable. Mm. The other scenario may occur because we also buy into this used car salesman myth. And then as a result, we rarely market our products or our services on a consistent basis. And we rarely directly ask for the sale because we don't want to be associated with what we might consider the scum of the earth. So that approach is also unsustainable, clearly, because potential buyers will rarely ask you if they can make a purchase from you.
Right. There's that key point of you having to ask for the business. They're rarely going to volunteer.
Yeah, exactly. So there are other stories, you know, or variations on a theme. I hate being sold is a story. Or I couldn't be a salesperson like you. Sometimes people, you know, they say you have to talk a good game in order to make it in sales, or you're not good at sales. It's something that people who have been in sales for a long time, on that who are salespeople themselves, often have been taught this, that buyers are liars, which is also a myth.
Can you say a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So I wrote about this a little bit on the Magnetic Entrepreneur, my blog. But this idea that buyers are liars has to do with the assumption that a salesperson comes from, that especially in our day and age where buyers, with the internet, they often come to a service provider already knowing this, you know, as much as or more than the salesperson. In the case of cars, you can look up everything on there, the exact price mm-hmm. that the dealership purchased the car for. So their assumption is that the buyer is coming there already intent on trying to screw the seller. And so whatever comes out of their mouth, you don't believe it, and you now are overcoming objections on a whole new playing field. So here you can see how that's kind of a challenge if we as sales professionals approach buyers as liars, and the consumer approaches us as used car salespersons.
Yeah, it sounds like it's one of the favorite paradigms that human beings seem to like to set up, and that is us versus them.
Right.
You
know,
you versus
right.
you, and it's sort of this little power struggle, even though we have a shared objective.
Right. We want to buy, they want to sell, or the reverse may be true. Mm-hmm.
They have something we want. I have something they want. And so it seems like we would want to work together. But what you're describing sounds almost adversarial.
Absolutely. All of these old stories basically guarantee self-sabotage for any entrepreneur, but especially those of us who swim frequently in the ocean of our inner world.
Mm. Lovely image. Yeah. Well, so you've shared a little bit about what doesn't work about those stories. So what can help us to form a new story, a new approach?
Well, I think there are a couple of pieces to forming a new story. I think, first of all, kind of progressively understanding who we are, our essential nature, what fuels us and charges us. I think that's important. I love, Beth, how you have completely, wholly embraced this niche as the introvert's coach. You're helping people really develop and hone their strengths in this regard, and I think that that's an important first step. In this beautiful unfolding of self-discovery myself, I'm constructing a business that supports me, and bit by bit, I not only release myself from guilt of needing to be go, 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 because that's what, you know, like you said, the shoulds,
mm-hmm.
And now I can be more available, show up to a larger degree in service to my clients, and to my friends and family, of course. I think the next kind of piece to that kind of creating a new story about after, you know, valuing your strengths, which basically what you're doing when you value your strengths is also creating an empowering new story about what it means to be an introvert and what it means for you to be an introvert. And that's to, you know, we talked a little bit about this, but to construct what your version is of selling as spiritual practice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I talked a little bit about this, but I believe that we are spiritual beings, or another word for being a spiritual being that we've heard maybe in popular culture is being, you know, vibrational. And we came here for emotional experiences so that we elevate ourselves to a higher emotional level, or you could say vibrational level, or what I'm calling spiritual. And we do it through relationships, which allow us to fulfill our purpose. We have various relationships in our family, our spouse, with our clients and prospects. And when we have these relationships, engage them, they allow us to fulfill our purpose, I think, like prayer or yoga or strolling in the park, connecting with nature through exercise. People have various different ways, but also through selling. And I define it, spiritual selling, that is, as one of the kind of vehicles that allows us to evolve and assist in the evolution of other people. It makes a particular connection or spiritual, vibrational, emotional alignment, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying by all of those things is that I have this kind of view of approaching selling as spiritual practice, but for you and your listeners, choose something that resonates with you in terms of a spiritual practice that maybe you engage right now, maybe you've employed it before, or you want to, and then extrapolate from that. From, you know, that concrete example of a spiritual practice, an application to selling. And then write down that as your new defining story. Or whatever, you know, maybe record it, whatever recording method works best for you.
Mm-hmm. Shambhay, I love what you said about assisting in the evolution of others. It's reminding me that it really is a relationship, and that yes, I'm looking to attract something, gain something that supports me as a business person, and I'm also assisting someone else's growth, and that by keeping that front of my consciousness reminds me of why I'm doing what I'm doing in the first place, which takes some of that fear and adversarial piece out of the equation. It becomes much more about connection.
You know, when I hear you even say that, it sounds like such a relief,
mm-hmm.
and that you maybe let yourself off the hook a little bit in terms of it having to be this other story that doesn't work. There's also one more piece that I think in helping. Well, so number one is embrace an empowering story about yourself and your strengths as an introvert. And if, you know, I'm sure there's extroverts listening to your podcast as well, and they likewise, I think, should embrace an empowering story about themselves. And then the second piece, embrace selling as a spiritual practice in a way that resonates with you. And then lastly, just know that we still live in this society against the backdrop of the used car salesman myth. And so what it means is that we're not immune to unintentionally acting in a way that's congruent with that model rather than our own, especially when in times of stress, like we, you know, we need clients because we need to eat.
Right. I think of, you know, when I'm in conversations, especially with new entrepreneurs and particularly coaches, I need to get clients. I've got to get some more clients. And that's coming from a little bit of that fear-based desperation place that is human.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, it is human. And it's okay. And then we just need to notice it so that we can release
that's
it.
That's the key.
When we're actually engaged in the selling process.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's the key, is being aware of it when it's happening, because then you can make the shift and to not beat ourselves up for having that moment, you know, to recognize, okay, yeah, wow, I am feeling some fear here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love, someone once said that knowledge alone is curative. So, just be alert, be conscious of what you're doing and how you're doing it so that you can, be aligned as far as possible, congruent with what you really want.
Yeah. Put yourself at choice.
Absolutely. Mm.
Well, what are, you know, maybe to kind of put something of a neat bow on all of this, this part of our conversation, what are maybe three things that someone listening can do right now that will make a difference in his or her approach to sales?
Well, I think, good question. Three specific things. And I would say the first one would be to recognize that you're fabulous as an introvert.
Mm-hmm.
Claim it and know, just as Marty Olson Laney talks about in her book, that you have an introvert advantage. In fact, I would go on to say that things are changing in our world today, and that the typical things that define generally what a introvert person is and does are what we need in this new economy. Natural tendencies of introvert include, like, they tend to work collaboratively to develop solutions. They don't have to be out in front. They tend to think about what they're going to say before speaking. Sometimes, like you probably have noticed, I have lots of Boz is going to get on with whatever he's trying to say.
Oh, no. I loved this. There was someone who blogged about being an introvert and discovering what did that mean, and she made the analogy to music, and that in the best music there are rests.
Oh, I love that.
And that in that rest there's something that refreshes the ear and allows you to continue on and continue to experience the beautiful things that are unfolding around you. So there's beauty in that rest and that pause. So I appreciate your pauses, Shambay.
Oh, thank you. And that's so affirming. So, you know, that's another so here is a perfect illustration of what I'm saying, of one of the core things to do right now as an entrepreneur is to enumerate your strengths that are needed right now. And one of them is, like I mentioned, being collaborative, thinking before speaking, noticing details that most people don't in the world. Mm-hmm. You tend to form lasting relationships, and really relationships that are at the core of the spiritual marketing paradigm, and they don't really like being interrupted, and they dislike interrupting others. And our savvy, what do you call it, when someone's a savvy consumers?
See, I was careful there. I didn't want to interrupt you.
I was thinking about that after I said it.
When you're thinking, please jump in.
Cracking me up. So that's the primary thing. And then noticing when we're not operating in the spiritual paradigm and going back to what's special about you,
mm-hmm.
I think are the primary components of, and you can do that right now after listening to this recording.
Yeah. Would you mind repeating that quote that you shared a moment ago about the knowledge?
Knowledge itself is curative.
Knowledge.
Is that how I said it?
I think so. Did you, is that you, is that Shambay or is that someone else?
I'm sure everything I say is borrowed from somebody else.
Well, I love it, wherever it comes from. Yeah, knowledge is curative.
Knowledge alone is sometimes curative.
Yeah.
Which I love it, and some people, and it's empowering. And that alone can help you, as opposed to thinking that there's something else you need to do.
Yeah. as we wrap up here, I have a question that I ask of all of my guests.
Okay.
And that is, if you were granted a year's vacation on Introvert Island.
I love it.
Introvert Island. You get to go away for a little while. All expenses paid, of course. And you had only room for 3 books in your luggage. What would you take with you and why?
Well, first of all, the vacation would be on Introvert Island. I love it. And I there's a lot of books that I would want to take. But there's one, the first one's a book of fiction that was given to me in 2002. And I know that because, well, I wrote it in front of the book, but...
Your memory is just that good.
But also because my partner, I met my partner in 2002, mm-hmm. and it was that Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And I started reading the book, but I never finished it. It's called At Swim, Two Boys, by an author. His name's Jamie O'Neill. At Swim, Two Boys. And it was kind of thinking about this is a toss-up between, you know, this one and have you heard of Ulysses by James Joyce?
Yes. Bush? Yes.
Well, this book, At Swim, Two Boys, is easier.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've heard of Ulysses. I could never claim to have read it.
And I've read some of Ulysses at university, but not the whole book. But anyway, but we're not talking about Ulysses, we're talking about At Swim, Two Boys. And it's almost a 600-page book that takes place in 1916. It's during Ireland's Easter Uprising against the English. And it's very engaging, a little challenging because of the Irish dialect that's in there. But I love it. And it would be, I love those types of challenges and big novels I never get to read.
Mm.
The other one would be Movies in the Mind. It's by Colleen Ray, R-A-E. And I used to write a lot in my youth. I was pretty good at writing. This book is filled with exercises about how to enter the realm of the story maker and unlock and birth a story. So I'd love to do that book. And then the third book would be Anatomy of the Spirit. And that one is by Carolyn Miss, I think she pronounced.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's Miss or Mice. It's M-Y-S-S.
S-S, that's right. Yeah, you know the book, yeah. So you know of Carolyn.
I know of her. I don't know of the book.
It's called Anatomy of the Spirit, The 7 Stages of Power and Healing. And of the 3 books, this is the one that I have read completely, and I think I could read it 10 times over. It really takes you on an amazing journey of the spirit, how to speak the language of the spirit, and how information, including sickness and healing, is stored in the body's chakras, energy centers, how to connect with spirit and with our purpose on a daily basis. I think that would be a great book to have on Introvert Island.
Yeah, you're going to come off of that island well-informed and just bursting with energy and ideas.
Not wanting to leave.
Exactly. Island. You'll have to have another 3 shipped to you for the next year.
That's a great question. Thank you for asking.
You're welcome. So, Shambay, how can people learn more about you and your services?
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, I'd love for folks to follow me on Twitter. My handle is my name. Shambay is spelled T like Tom, S like Sam, H-O-M like Mary, B like Bob, E like Ernie, T-S-H-O-M-B-E. That's twitter.com/Shambay. And I'd love for everyone to interact with me on my blog. That's themagneticentrepreneur.com, themagneticentrepreneur.com. On that page, you can also sign up to receive my 90-minute audio workshop that I have on there. It normally sells for $49, but on that web page, you can get that at no charge. So thank you. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to share that with your peeps. And by the way, speaking of Beth's peeps.
I have peeps. I love it.
That's peeps. My website, my main website, is yoursignatureconsulting.com. And I'd like to give a special gift. I've created a new audio that has never been shown to anybody, hasn't seen the light of day, and I'd love for you to have it as being part of Beth's tribe. And it's called The Magnetic Power of Goals to Change Your Life and Your Business. It's about 20 minutes long and has a handout and audio that accompanies the handout. And you can find it at yoursignatureconsulting.com/bethspeeps.html.
I love it. Thank you.
So that's yoursignatureconsulting.com/beth.
Yep, Beth's peeps. Yep, say that 10 times fast.
ETHSPEEPS.HTML.
Great. Thanks, Shambay, for offering that. I really appreciate that you're extending that, and it's a really a perfect segue from this conversation into taking it into the larger arena of goals, because sales is just one of, I'm sure, many goals that entrepreneurs have in their businesses.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, so I just want to tell you quickly how much I've appreciated you being on the show, and there are certain words I'm taking away that are going to stick with me, and one is true nature, you know, being in touch with our true nature and our strengths, release, energy, relationships, and connection. And those are all words that I'm taking, and spirit, that are going to inform me moving forward, and I hope contribute well to our listeners as well.
Me too. What a privilege, and thank you so much for having me on your show. And I really send blessings and love to all of Beth's peeps, and to their success in engaging selling as a spiritual practice.
This is Beth Below, the Introvert Entrepreneur. A very special thank you to Shambay Brown for joining us today. And thanks to you for spending this time with us. Join me each week for insights, information, and inspiration for introverts who know that success is an inside job. If you'd like to learn more, please visit theintrovertentrepreneur.com. You can also find a growing community of introvert entrepreneurs on Facebook at facebook.com/theintrovertentrepreneur. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to seeing you next time.